Good morning, everybody. Yep, I'm Richard Schwartz. We have to introduce ourselves a little bit, just to give you a little background. I'm author here, Judaism and Vegetarianism, third edition. Judaism and Global Survival. I have another book that I didn't bring, Mathematics and Global Survival. You see a theme of global survival here. And as Chris mentioned, I want to really compliment Chris for setting this up. He did a lot of work to do so, and deserves a lot of credit. Okay, also, she indicated I'm president of Jewish Vegetarians of North America, put out a weekly newsletter. If anybody would like to get that, it's all free. See me at the end of the session here. And also president of a society of ethical and religious vegetarians, because we're trying to make our voice stronger by showing it's not just Christianity, not just Judaism, but Jainism, all of the religions have this message of compassion. We're trying to get it out. And most recently, been very much involved in a movie that's going to be shown later. I have to double-check the schedule. I think at 5:35. And it's called The Sacred Duty, Applying Jewish Values to Help Heal the World. And it is from a Jewish perspective, but it has a universal message. Like Levy's rye bread, you don't have to be Jewish to appreciate it. And thank God we've been getting very good responses from people from all different religions. And this is so important. First of all, George Shea is here. He's been at a table. We're just giving these away because the issues are so important, but we hope you'll take one, view it, share it with others, maybe arrange a showing, get it to your priest, rabbi, minister, because the issues are so important, because this is the bottom line right now. And Sarub referred to it, unfortunately, the world is threatened as perhaps never before. We're heading very rapidly toward an unprecedented catastrophe. And we see it in the news all the time, the flooding in Iowa, the fires out in California, the drought. Somebody's called it the century of drought. Since I work a lot in the Jewish community, I point out that unfortunately Israel now is suffering the worst drought in its history, with the Kinneret going so far down that by December, if they don't get much rain, it will be below the level of the pumps. So the world threatened as never before, but we have a very powerful message. Probably most of you are aware of this. An amazing report, November 2006, the UN, Food and Agricultural Organization, it's not PETA, it's not HSUS, all these great groups, the UN indicated that animal-based agriculture emits more greenhouse gases and CO2 equivalents than all the cars, trucks, planes, ships, all the means of transportation combined. And finally, that message is getting out, but an important part of that, they mentioned the same report, is that at current trends, this will double. The number of farmed animals will double within about 50 years. And there's a lot of talk about how much we have to reduce global warming, greenhouse emissions. Absolutely true. But if this doubling occurs, that's going to negate the effect of changing light bulbs, more efficient cars. So much more has to be done. But without a shift to vegetarianism, we're not going to solve the problem. And therefore, we have to be involved. We live in a world of madness and sheer insanity, in a way. You know, in an age of drought, we have the average American diet requires 14 times as much water as that of a vegan diet. 70% of the grain in the U.S. at a time with 20 million people dying of hunger, it's madness and sheer insanity. We're feeding 70% of the grain produced in the U.S., 40% of the grain produced worldwide to animals destined for slaughter. And you can go on and on. Energy, far, far more energy, global warming impact. So it's madness and sheer insanity, and what we have to do is respond with a certain amount of sanity, but also with another kind of madness. As Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel indicated, we have to respond with the madness of the biblical prophets, in effect. Who, you know, when everybody else was whispering yes, in effect, to conditions that he already said no, they shouted out no to injustice. We're not exactly spokespeople for God like they were, but we have to be in that tradition. So we have to go, every single one of us, to our priest, minister, rabbi, and say, what's going on out there? If you care about the future, about children, grandchildren, future generations, we have to make the change, and our religions have to be in the forefront. Now, we don't have too much time. I want to just present a case that's so strong from a religious perspective. This is from a Jewish perspective, but very easily adapted. Very important that God's first dietary law strictly vegetarian. It's right there, Genesis 1, chapter 29, of course, consistent with what we're finding about our body structure, the acids in our stomach, a very long intestinal system. So first dietary was strictly vegetarian, and later on, permission was given reluctantly, but there was a second experiment in terms of the manna from heaven. Kept the Israelites in very good health for 40 years in the desert, but, you know, the grass is always greener, quote-unquote, somewhere else. They cried out for flesh, reluctantly provided in the form of quail, and while they were chewing on it, a great plague broke out. Many people died, a place called the plague, the graves of lust, an early indication of the negative effects of animal-based diets. Later on, again, people were not satisfied. Permission to eat meat, first it had to be part of biblical sacrifices in order to limit it, and that was also a concession to the times, because that was a common mode of worship, but they took out the pagan practices, the cruelty practices, and all. But finally, we have Rabbi Abraham Isaac HaKohen Cook, who felt that not just the Garden of Eden, the initial ideal time, but the Messianic period, that will also be vegetarian, based on the prophecy of Isaiah, the wolf will dwell with the lamb, the lion will stroke the ox, no one shall hurt nor destroy in all of God's holy mountain. And that last part is the motto of the International Jewish Vegetarian Society, centered in London. But there's, in the Bible, you can find much in cases for many things, but there are six important mandates that point to vegetarianism as the ideal Jewish diet and the ideal diet for everybody, for every religion, modified slightly. These are six mandates, very fundamental to all our religions. And these are to take care of our health, to treat animals with compassion, to be co-workers with God in preserving the environment, to conserve natural resources, to help hungry people, and to seek and pursue peace. And I want to very briefly give the religious background on these. Most of these you're familiar with. The fact that in every single case, the realities in the world and the religious teachings are like completely opposites. You know, if we want to save the world, we have to apply these religious teachings, some of which Sarab had there, ahimsa, compassion, concern, etc. Okay, in terms of compassion for animals, since this is an animal rights conference, you're all very aware of how awfully animals are treated, but there's a very strong case. The Book of Psalms indicates God's mercies are over all of his creatures. So God is concerned. And the book of Proverbs indicates the righteous individual considers the life of his or her animal. The Bible, you can't yoke a strong and weak animal, you can't muzzle an ox while threshing in the field. So important, it's part of the Ten Commandments. Not only are humans to rest on the Sabbath day, but animals as well. And if you have a pet or a farmed animal, you have to feed that animal before you can sit down to your own meal. In the Jewish tradition, the great heroes all were chosen because they showed compassion for animals. Moses as a shepherd, King David as well, and for any single people here, a test for choosing a spouse was also compassion, because when the servant of Abraham had to find a wife for Isaac to continue the Jewish tradition, he set up a test at the well. If a woman would draw water for him, but not only for him, but for 10 thirsty camels who had just crossed the desert, that would be a sign of a tender heart, compassion. And Rebecca met that test and kept the Jewish tradition, which eventually, of course, led to Christianity, Muslim traditions as well. Okay, 3 minutes. Okay, we got. The time is short and the work is great. Okay, but here it is. These are all mandates, so that we have to go to priest, minister, rabbi, and say, "What's going on here?" And say, "Would God want us to have a diet that's bad for our health, that mistreats the animals that he shows compassion to, that is so bad for the environment, global warming, that wastes resources, water, that wastes resources with hungry people and also leads to violence, etc. In terms of health, maybe the most important religious is Jewish mitzvah, because it overrides other commandments. The Sabbath day is very important, but if a life's in danger, you must do whatever is possible, even if it means violating the Sabbath. In terms of the environment, we're supposed to be co-workers, partners with God in protecting this very endangered world. Conserving resources, there's a portion in Deuteronomy, in Hebrew, Baal Tashkit. It's based on not destroying fruit-bearing trees in a time of warfare, and the sages extended that and said, we can use things, but we're not to waste or unnecessarily destroy anything of value. And of course, the society today is so different from that, and animal-based diets are wasting water and grain, land. It can be 20 times as much land. And the last mandate, seek peace and pursue it, and, you know, with a yearning for a messianic period where the nations will beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. And the sages saw that the Hebrew words for bread and war, lechem and milchama, come from the same root. They deduced when people, when there's a shortage of grain and other resources, people are more likely to go to war. We see that in the Gulf now, and we see it. Our military people are telling us that with global warming, it makes violence more likely. But also, from that I deduce the following. The slogan of the peace movement and the vegetarian movement should be one and the same. Yes. Okay. I'm going to finish. And what is that slogan? All we're saying is give peas a chance. Okay. Okay, coming. So, take this message, go to your rabbi, priest, minister, and say, I'm concerned about the world, my children, my grandchildren, future generations. We just can't take it. Let's apply our religious values to save the world. Thank you.